Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Michael Jackson's birthday is tomorrow, so we should all send a happy birthday to his beautiful spirit and give thanks for all the music that that man produced while he was on this planet. Oh, I give thanks for Michael Jackson. Welcome to Soul Purpose Healing. And tonight, we're going to dive into religion again because I had a conference. I was on a conference call with some Christians, and we had a discussion about Genesis and just all the things that we learned in Sunday school. And I had to interrupt the reader of just the pastor because it was like, I don't believe that way. The way it was being interpreted, I wasn't on the same level or just wasn't on the same thought process. So I said, okay, today I was told, what am I going to show them? It's got to be soul status in Christianity because there's a connection. there is a connection why many people are still in their religious minds and still clinging to Christianity. In fact, I was going to read to you what the requirements are to be a Christian. This person laid it all out for me, and I thought that's interesting. We have a very divisive spirit operating in some of the Christian community, because if you don't believe that Jesus is the Savior, if you don't believe that Mary was a virgin, and if you don't believe that Jesus was God, and there was one more, I can't remember else, then you're going to hell. Basically, that's what the thought process was last night. I thought, we got to talk about this. We don't need any more division in my mind. Soul purpose healing is all about bringing us back to alignment with the Creator, with the spirit of love, compassion, and wisdom, with the energetic force of the universe called Yahuwah in my book. But I have two guests tonight. One of them is a guy named Alan Watts, and these are people from YouTube University. Alan Watts is a brilliant commentator and historian. I play for you his peak take on the history of Christianity. And we got to start with that, because if you know the history of Christianity, you got to ask yourself, why are you still connected to that? That's what my feeling is. And there are many of us on this planet who are what I call old souls. Yes, we're old souls. So we're not going to see things the same way some of these young souls are seeing things. And that's one of the reasons. Oh, my goodness, is it raining again? I'm just thinking, we had so much rain today. I left my books outside and they got soaking wet. Oh, my goodness. I'm like wondering, more rain? I sent some rain to my friend in Lakeland. He got, and the rain actually went to Lakeland. So, hallelujah. But we love the rain. I'm growing a lot of porcelain in my yard, and it is just all over the place. So tonight, let's talk about young souls and old souls. And that'll help us understand, actually, why we have so many people who are still connected to religion. And I'm going to actually try and pull up the audio of Alan Watts and see how that sounds, because it's such a beautiful, it's a long teaching, but this guy's amazing. And I like to, let's see, he talks about, what is it? Alan Watts, about religion, thought-provoking video. So it's a very thought-provoking video about religion. So I want to start out tonight with Alan Watts giving us, it is raining, oh my goodness, giving us something to think about before we get into this religious conversation about religion. And this is Alan Watts opens up about...
A lot of people don't know how we got the Bible at all.
So I'm going to show you the video on Facebook, because it's interesting. It's a nice video of Alan Watts. And let me go back, though. And we want to start off there, because there is what I call a lot of young souls who are still... young souls who are clinging to their religion and creating division. We've got division in the camp again. And I'm working with a friend in her ministry. Okay, there we are. And I'm really hoping that we can get past some of the old teachings of Christianity that are really outdated. And there's just so much information on the internet to help us come out of that, okay? So let's listen to Alan Watts for a very thought-provoked. Think about, we want everybody who's listening, tuning in, think about what he's saying about the history of Christianity. Please, let's just go to the history of Christianity and remind ourselves in a way how the Indians were slaughtered and bury my heart at wounded knee. My ancestors have helped me grow up quite a bit. You know, when I look at all the things that happened to my ancestors in the name of Christianity, we just got to wake up. So here's a little teaching on the history.
We Westerners got the Bible thanks to the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church and members of the Church wrote the books of the New Testament. And they took over the books of the Old Testament, which even by the time of Christ had not been finally decided upon by the Jews. The Jews did not close the canon of the Old Testament until 100 AD or about at the Synod of Bithynia. And then they finally decided which were the canonical books of the Hebrew Scriptures and embodied them in the Masoretic text, the earliest copy of which dates from the 10th century, early in the 10th century AD. The books to be included in the New Testament were not finally decided upon until the year 382 AD again at the Synod of Rome under Pope Damasus. So it was the Church, the Catholic Church, that promulgated the Bible. The Scriptures on our authority and by the authority of the informal tradition but is accepted among us from the beginning, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So you receive historically the Bible on the Church's say-so. And the Catholic Church insists, therefore, that the Church, collectively, speaking, assumed the guidance of the Holy Spirit, has to interpret the Bible. And you can take it or leave it. Hindus believe that the Vedas are divinely revealed and inspired with just as much fervor as any Christian or any Jew. Muslims believe the Quran is divinely inspired. And Buddhists believe that their sutras are also of divine, or rather, of Buddhic origin. The Japanese believe that the ancient texts of Shinto are likewise of divine origin. True. It finally says, are you going to leave the Church or aren't you? So really, I won't deny anybody's right to hold these opinions. You may indeed believe that the Bible is literally true and that it was actually dictated by God to Moses, the prophets, and the apostles. And that may be your opinion, and you are at liberty to hold. I don't agree with you. That there is a sense in which the Bible is finally inspired. But since inspiration always comes through a human vehicle, it's liable to be distorted by that vehicle. In other words, I'm talking to you through a sound system. And it's the only one now available. Now, if there's something wrong with this sound system, the utter to you will be distorted. My voice will be distorted. And you might miss the meaning of what I said. Now, so therefore, everybody who receives inspiration, and I'm using that in a very loose way, but anybody who receives it will express it within the limits of what language he knows. And by language here, I don't only mean English, Latin, Greek, Hebrew, or Sanskrit. I mean language in the sense of what sort of terms are available to you. What kind of religion?
Okay, I'm going to pause that because one of my Facebook listeners said there's a terrible echo. And that usually happens when I try and play a video on YouTube. So I'm going to go to audio. I did upload the audio for this. There's not a lot to see anyway from that. So let me go to the audio on this particular message from, we're listening to Alan Watts. And in case you're just joining us, Let's see. We're going to start it again. Here we go.
A lot of people don't know how we got the Bible at all. We Westerners got the Bible thanks to the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church and members of the Church wrote the books of the New Testament. And they took over the books of the Old Testament, which even by the time of Christ had not been finally decided upon by the Jews. The Jews did not close the canon of the Old Testament until the year 100 AD or thereabouts at the Synod of Jamnia. And then they finally decided which were the canonical books of the Hebrew Scriptures and embodied them in the Masoretic text, the earliest copy of which dates from the 10th century, early in the 10th century AD. The books to be included in the New Testament were not finally decided upon until the year 382 AD again, at the Synod of Rome under Pope Damasus. So it was the Church, the Catholic Church, that promulgated the Bible and said, we are giving you these scriptures on our authority and by the authority of the informal tradition that has existed among us from the beginning, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So you receive historically the Bible on the Church's say-so. And the Catholic Church insists, therefore, that the Church, collectively, speaking under the presumed guidance of the Holy Spirit, has the authority to interpret the Bible. And you can take that or leave it. Hindus believe that the Vedas are divinely revealed and inspired with just as much fervor as any Christian or any Jew. Muslims believe that the Quran is divinely inspired. And some Buddhists believe that their sutras are also of divine or rather a Buddhic origin. The Japanese believe that the ancient texts of Shinto are likewise of divine origin. And who is to be judged? So if the Church says the Bible is true, it finally comes down to you. Are you going to believe the Church or aren't you? So really, I won't deny anybody's right to hold these opinions. You may indeed believe that the Bible is literally true and that it was actually dictated by God to Moses and the prophets and the apostles. And that may be your opinion, and you are at liberty to hold it. I don't agree with you. I do believe, on the other hand, that there is a sense in which the Bible is divinely inspired. But since inspiration always comes through a human vehicle, it is liable to be distorted by that vehicle. In other words, I'm talking to you through a sound system. And it's the only one now available. Now, if there's something wrong with this sound system, whatever truths I might utter to you will be distorted. My voice will be distorted. And you might mistake the meaning of what I said. Now, so therefore, everybody who receives divine inspiration, and I'm using that in a very loose way, but anybody who receives it will express it within the limits of what language he knows. And by language here, I don't only mean English, Latin, Greek, Hebrew, or Sanskrit. I mean language in the sense of what sort of terms are available to you. What kind of religion were you brought up with? In my opinion, is the Jesus of Nazareth was a human being, like Buddha, like Sri Ramakrishna, like Ramana Maharshi, etc., who early in life had a colossal experience of what we call cosmic consciousness. Now, you don't have to be any particular kind of religion to get this experience. It can hit anyone anytime, like falling in love, in greater or lesser degree. But it's found all over the world. And when it hits you, you know it. Sometimes it comes after long practice of meditations and spiritual discipline. Sometimes it comes for no reason that anybody can determine. We say it's the grace of God. That there comes this overwhelming conviction that you have mistaken your identity. That what you thought, what I thought was just old Alan Watts, was only completely superficial. So you can very well understand how people to whom this happens feel genuinely inspired. Because very often there goes along with it an extremely warm feeling. Because you see the divine in everybody else's eyes. When Kabir, a great Hindu-Muslim mystic, was a very old man, he used to look around at people and say, to whom shall I preach? Because he saw the beloved in all eyes. The traditions of Asia, Hindu, Buddhist, Taoist, and so forth, are full of miraculous stories. And we take them in our stride. We don't think that there are any sign of anything in particular except psychic power. And I'm really a little scared of the growing interest in psychic power, because that's what I call psychotechnics. And we've made such a mess of things with ordinary techniques that heaven only knows what we might do if we got hold of psychotechnics and started raising people from the dead and prolonging life insufferably. I mean, the whole answer to the story of miracles is simply imagine that you're God. Now, what happened? The apostles didn't quite get the point. They were awed by the miracles of Jesus. They worshipped him as people do worship gurus. And it's, you know, to what lengths that can go if you've been around guru land. And so the Christian said, okay, Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God, but let it stop right there. Nobody else. So what happened was that Jesus was pedestalized. He was put in a position that was safely upstairs, so that his troublesome experience of cosmic consciousness would not come and cause other people to be a nuisance. And those who have had this experience and expressed it during those times when the church had political power were almost invariably persecuted. Gordiano Bruno was burnt at the stake. John Scotus Origena was excommunicated. Meister Eckhart's theses were condemned, and so on and so on. A few mystics got away with it because they used cautious language. But you see what happens. If you pedestalize Jesus, you strangle the gospel at birth. And it has been the tradition in both the Catholic Church and in Protestantism to pass off what I will call an emasculated gospel. Gospel means good news. And I cannot for the life of me think what is the good news about the gospel as ordinarily handed down. Here is the revelation of God in Christ, in Jesus. And we are supposed to follow his life and example without having the unique advantage of being the boss's son. Born of a virgin, knowing he is the Son of God, having the power of miracles, knowing that basically it's impossible to kill him, he's going to rise again in the end. And we are asked to take up our cross and follow him when we don't know that about ourselves at all. So what happens is this. We are delivered, therefore, a gospel which is in fact an impossible religion. It's impossible to follow the way of Christ. Many a Christian has admitted it. I am a miserable sinner. I fall far short of the example of Christ. But do you realize, the more you say that, the better you are. Because what happened was that Christianity institutionalized guilt as a virtue. And therefore, you will always be aware of your shortcomings, And so the more shortcomings you feel, the more, in other words, you are aware of the vast abyss between Christ and yourself. So you go to confession, and if you've got a nice, dear, understanding confessor, you say, my child, you know you've sinned very grievously, but you must realize that the love of God and of our Lord is infinite, and that naturally you are forgiven. And you know, you've committed a murder and robbed a bank and fornicated around and so on. And the priest is perfectly patient and quiet. Well, you feel awful. To the love of God, I have wounded Jesus, grieved the Holy Spirit, and so on. But you know in the back of your mind you're going to do it all over again. You won't be able to help yourself. You'll try, but there's always a greater and greater sense of guilt. This is the Christianity of most people. Now, there is a much more subtle Christianity of the theologians, the mystics, and the philosophers. But it's not what gets preached from the pulpit. What would the real gospel be? The real good news is not simply that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God, but that he was a powerful Son of God who came to open everybody's eyes to the fact that you are too. And this is perfectly plain. If you will go to the 10th chapter of St. John, verse 30, there is a passage where Jesus says, I and the Father are one. There are some people who are not intimate disciples around, and they're horrified, and they immediately pick up stones to stone him. He says, many good works I have shown you from the Father, and for which of these do you stone me? And they said, for a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy, because you being a man make yourself God. And he replied, isn't it written in your law, I have said you are gods? He's quoting the 82nd Psalm. Is it not written in your law, I have said, you are gods? If God called them, those to whom he gave his word, gods, and you can't deny the scriptures, how can you say I blaspheme? Because I said, I am a son of God. Well, there's the whole thing in a nutshell. Because if you read the King James Bible that descended with the angel, you will see in italics in front of the word Son of God, the Son of God, because I said I am the Son of God. And most people think that the italics are for emphasis. They're not. The italics indicate words interpolated by the translators. You will not find that in the Greek. The Greek says a Son of God. So it seems to me here perfectly plain that Jesus is got it in the back of his mind that this isn't something peculiar to himself. So when he says, I am the way, no man comes to the Father but by me, this I am, this me, is the divine in us, which in Hebrew would be called the Ruach Adonai. So the point is that the Ruach is the divine in the creature by virtue of which we are sons of or of the nature of God, manifestations of the divine. This discovery is the gospel, that is the good news. But this has been perpetually repressed throughout the history of Western religion. Because all Western religions have taken the form of celestial monarchies, which is not the religion of Jesus, which was the realization of divine sonship, but the religion about Jesus, which pedestalizes him, and which says only this man, of all the sons of woman, was divine, and you had better recognize. Utterly exclusive, convinced in advance of examining the doctrines of any other religion that is the top religion. And so it becomes a freak religion, just as it has made a freak of Jesus, an unnatural man. It claims uniqueness, not realizing that what it does teach would be far more credible if it were truly Catholic, that is to say, restated again the truths which have been known from time immemorial, which have appeared in all the great cultures of the world. If then we can see this, that Jesus speaks not from the situation of a historical deus ex machina, a kind of weird, extraordinary event, but he is a voice which joins with other voices that have said in every place and time, wake up, man, wake up, and realize who you are. No scolding, no rational demonstration of the right way to behave is going to inspire people with love. Something else must happen. I feel then, you see, that it's enormously important that churches stop being talking shops. They become centers of contemplation. What is contemplation? Contemplum. It's what you do in the temple. You don't come to the temple to chatter, but to be still and know that I am God. And this is why, if the Christian religion, if the gospel of Christ is to mean anything at all, instead of just being one of the forgotten religions, along with Osiris and Mithra, we must see Christ as the great mystic. In the proper sense of the word mystic, not someone who has all sorts of magical powers and understands spirits and so on. A mystic, strictly speaking, is one who realizes union with God by whatever name. This seems to me the crux and message of the gospel, summed up in the prayer of Jesus, which St. John records, as he speaks over his disciples, praying that they may be one, even as you, Father, and I are one, that they may be all one. All realize this divine sonship or oneness, basic identity with the eternal energy of the universe and the love that moves the sun and other stars.
And that was Alan Watts is his name, and you can find more of his teachings on YouTube. And I know it's a conference call I was on last night. We are in desperate need of new teaching, or not new, renewed reminders of what this Christianity is all about. And I just want to, before we go to the commercials, I believe Naima may be ready for commercials. I want to just highlight a few things that he pointed out. Number one, that people I never heard pedestalize. And created this guru, which he believed was just a man who had developed cosmic consciousness. I love that. That's what we're all doing here on Soul Purpose. We're all developing cosmic consciousness. And he said it's an impossible religion because they have institutionalized guilt. And that's what I see in my counseling of people who are with disease, shame, and guilt. And they usually come out of a experience because, and they have so much shame and guilt because they can't meet the standards of faith. So Christ, in my opinion, and I agree with Watts, is that Christ came to open our eyes and help us for the energy inside. And I need to be that we need to develop centers of contemplation where we go inside this temple and be still and know who we really are on this planet Earth. So we're going to come back after the break, and I'm going to give you a simple explanation of why we have people still think they need a savior in this very complex, multidimensional universe that we live in. We still have many people who are looking for a savior, and I have a very simple explanation for you. And we'll be back after these messages.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down to earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
And we are back. Thank you for joining me this evening. It is raining again in Florida, in Orlando, Florida. This rain. I'm so grateful because I'm uncovering a plant called parsley all over my yard, pulling weeds off the parsley, and all it needed was some rain. So thank you for joining me this evening. I'm having this show tonight about soul status and Christianity. because I was on a conference call last night, and it just blew my mind, the indoctrination and the level of soul that were maturity or lack of maturity in the souls that were speaking on this conference call. And I had to interrupt the pastor because I was thinking, I don't believe this. I don't believe this. But these were Christians. I wanted to bring to you some more lessons about, just learned from Alan Watts, Indoctrinated. We put this Christ man on a instead of recognizing his cosmic consciousness. Open our eyes. And the Catholic, the Catholic Church at the end, the Christianity has institutionalized. We have a lot of division in human society because people are still connected to this institution called Christianity by guilt. And there's nothing else. Catholics wrote the Bible, so we have to be about literally taking the words in the Bible, the gospel of truth of everything. Now, my own personal journey, I was born into the Church of God in Christ. My grandfather was a pastor. I was in a Holy Ghost rolling church every summer where my grandfather preached. He was the most loving and beautiful man I ever met. He and I were built to like turned into a personal relationship with Yahushua and a personal relationship with the Most High, Yahushua, which is all around us. And I found this beautiful sister on YouTube named Dorothy Shelton. Whoa, is she beautiful. In fact, I watched, she has a giving birth in a bathtub. This woman, I subscribed to her right away because in her teaching, very alert, and she calls on Yeshua. She calls the Messiah Yeshua, not in Jesus, because those of us who advance to Hebrew Messiah, anointed, conscious, conscious person who roamed the Middle East, Israel, and all that area, and yet we still have people calling him Jesus. J, there's no words, no J in the Hebrew language, but people still clinging to J. A progression of my relationship with this Messiah who came to open our eyes. It's going to share how all souls determine Messiah. This is what it's really all about. I'm an old soul. I discovered that I'm going to be an old soul. I went through all the religious about 20 or 30 years. I've been there, Methodist, started out in the Methodist church, went to the Episcopal church, or went to the, visited the Catholic. I didn't stay in there too long. I saw that deception real easy. But I've been to Adventist, Jehovah's Witness. I even did a little Buddhism study, went to the Muslim churches, and so I've done them all. I've had some experience in all of these denominations, and now my identity is not, let me make that clear. My identity is I'm a soul having an earth experience in this sacred vessel. That's who I am. I don't take any identification with religion anymore. But this sister, Dorothy, it's going to explain why old and new souls determine who's clinging to
what. The importance of remaining grounded was mentioned in my reading, even to myself. And the reason for this, and I never really understood what it meant, but as time went on, I started to really understand it. And it just means that you're here fully on planet Earth to experience whatever is. Even if you experience fear in the process or resistance or anger, whatever it is, you just allow those emotions to be there. Just feel them and be aware of them. Don't resist them. The important thing is to really accept and to even come from it from a place of love. To love being on planet Earth. No matter what comes, no matter what, you know, all the difficulties, just love it and just truly embrace it. It is an amazing time to be alive. Like I said, because of the shift, Earth is moving into a different dimension. It is raising its vibration. And we have the opportunity to shift this planet Earth, to also raise our vibration, to match hers, and to shift with her en masse. So this is something that Lord Cannon has written a great deal about. This was prophesied in the Bible. It's also a lot of channelings right now are also mentioning the new Earth and this momentous time that we are in. So it's really an amazing time. And there is really no fear about this. There's no fear that needs to be attached to this situation because we all have a different role to play within this time. You know, some people are here as light workers, so they're here to help other people awaken, and that's wonderful. Some people are young souls, and young souls really still need to experience negativity. They still want to experience ego-based consciousness. That's why they're here. And so you can try to reason, or you can try to, you know, do whatever you want to a young soul. If they're not ready to embrace heart-based living, heart-based consciousness, then they're just not ready. And that's okay. We've got to accept that. We've got to make room for it because we all have our roles to play. And in the grand game of life, there is really no right or wrong. Or this person is living a bad life or wrong life. No, there's only experience. Everything is experience at the end. Sometimes I myself, I see certain things happening, obviously, when you watch the news, especially with the news. Turn it off, turn it off. The news is full of negativity, you know. And you just want to say, oh, I don't want to be here. I want to change this person. I want to do that. But actually, there's no need for it because actually, to be honest with you, everybody is exactly where they need to be right now. Because when you leave this earth and you are in the spiritual realm, you realize that actually everything is already perfect, just the way it is. Even with all the negativity, with all the violence, with all the hate, and all the seriously crazy things that are happening, which I'm not going to go into, all of that is still perfect because we've chosen all of these paths. Even I myself have gone through very difficult things in my life, from living in an orphanage as a baby. I didn't grow up in my mother. I lived in Nigeria for 6 years when I was a child, with dead bodies all around me. Was beaten as a child for many years. So I've experienced some very serious things, actually, you could say. But I think one thing that really helped me was the fact that I don't know, there was that awareness within me. There was a knowing. And that knowing always helped me to stay sane, I guess you could say. Stay grounded, stay clear in mind. And that's the difference between an old soul and a young soul, I think. An old soul, because they've experienced so many things, when you see a young baby, they're not innocent at all. They carry a lot of knowledge and knowingness within themselves. And that really helps to also guide them in their life, in this present lifetime, and help them to understand things better, put things into perspective. It is a great time to be alive, no matter where you are, no matter what you experience. It is a momentous time. The earth is shifting into a new dimension. We are spiritual beings. We have nothing to fear, even though, yes, it can be scary, but there is nothing to fear. So remember always, if you're in a difficult situation, if you feel lost, and I feel that way too many times, always remember, no matter what happens to you, you never die. You are a part of God. Without you, God would not exist because you are a part of God. So you can never be destroyed. Even if people try to put fear into you by telling you there is a devil, there is hellfire, and if you don't do this or if you're bad, you're going to go there. It is all a lie, and it's there to simply control you, to keep people in a certain space where they don't find the power within themselves. You're a grand spiritual being. No, you're not destroyable. You can never be destroyed. Your soul can never be captured. unless you yourself believe that, then it can be so. You are a powerful being, and the power is within you. It doesn't matter what anyone else believes. What matters is what you believe. If you allow the beliefs of others to affect your belief, then, yes, they have power over you. But you are the designer of your own life, so take control of it. You got to love yourself first. Start with yourself. Do whatever you need to do to love yourself fully. And that's when your cup is full and you can give it to others. Anyways, I'm going to cut the video off here. Thank you for watching. See you in the next video. Bye.
All right. And I played that audio because I just love that sister. I subscribed to her channel, Kenya. And I just love connecting to our family to get that type of wisdom and insight about old and new souls. Even over there in Kenya, she said she was an orphan. She spent time in Nigeria. But if you look at her YouTube video, she has a beautiful family. She just gave birth in a bathtub and filmed the whole thing. It was beautiful, just beautiful. So go and check out Dorothy Shelton to see this beautiful soul sharing her journey in ways that most women don't share. And to talk about, to help us understand why people are in Christianity today, even though we have the history of the Catholic Church wrote the book, where people are clinging to every word in that book. The black letters are like the literal energy for their life. They can't get away from those black letters to meditate on other books and things. And as and our relationship is still with many in the Christian church, still with JC or Jesus, when we all, those of us who have been through that religion, know that there was no J in the alphabet of Hebrew back in those days. So Jesus is not the person's name who had this cosmic consciousness, but we are clinging to that information. And then as Dorothy just brought out, don't be afraid that you're going to hell if you don't have a savior. If you're not accepting the savior, if you don't believe Jesus was born of a virgin and all the other outlines for being in the Christian club, let's just open up our minds and understand old souls, new souls. As she said, there's no judgment about people who are in the Christian faith, Christian religion. They're new souls. They need this experience. I had that experience in, like, fast forward. I'm in out of that. I am now a soul who's having an earth journey in a sacred vessel, and that's my identity. Soul, sacred vessel is my vehicle that I'm going to serve the universe, cosmic order, and I've come out of as Alan Watts said, pedestalizing really Yeshua, the spirit of truth, love, and light. So our eyes, this person came to open our eyes, but we still got people who are brain still in their youthful soul journey. No hate on them. They're in a youthful soul journey. They need this experience. I had it when fast forward because I'm an old soul. I've been here and that. In fact, I would say this is not my first rodeo. Some people don't even believe that. We have reincarnation in the Christian community. So we're overcoming a lot of things, but there's so much division. And that's what inspired me to bring this show tonight, to try and break up and bring some unity and harmony and break up the division. So let me go to the phone calls. We've got a few minutes before we have to go to the break. And then I'll go back to Facebook if there's any messages there. But 773-366, your mic is open.
Greetings, Viata.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
This is Naima. Yes. I really enjoyed the information that you have brought. You know, I was participating in a multi-religious gathering, you know, the Global Peace Organization, HWPL. They have these interfaith dialogues every month. And, you know, and I generally represent the Islamic point of view because that's the faith in which they met me at and that I was sharing with them when they asked me to speak. And, you know, they're Hindus and you know, Buddhists and you know, just all the different faiths that we try to come to a commonality. But I always notice, and maybe it's part of the indoctrination, the Christian people always stick to the thought that if you're not believing what we believe, you don't go to heaven, you're condemned to hell, there's only one way. And, you know, and I'm just looking at the pattern. I'm not trying to throw shade on anybody, but I just notice that in a gathering where the whole purpose is to come up with a unity consciousness among the religious communities so that we can be the foundation for world peace, that particular group can never quite come to the point of unity consciousness. It's always a we're right and we have the truth. And no matter how distorted it sounds, we're sticking to it, you know. It's good to understand the whole thing about young souls that are at that level where they just can't hear what makes sense. But, you know, my question is, why would someone prefer to believe that God is cruel enough to require some human being to go through torture in order to forgive people for their lack of knowledge and mistakes? Why would people prefer to believe that as opposed to something which makes more sense to the soul, that all of us are divine beings and we simply need to grow to that realization? You know, why do people want the Creator to be this cruel, mean-spirited entity? Why do they want that? And my conclusion was that people hate themselves. You know, when you hate yourself and you don't feel worthy, and, you know, you want something hateful to be over you. And this is what I've observed. But then also I realized, just looking at the history, and I've studied the history of, you know, religions and all of that, there was a lot of torture that went into forcing this particular belief system onto people all over the world. We know about the Native Americans and we know about the Africans, but globally, people were beaten and tortured until they agreed to follow this belief. And the Catholic Church is very much responsible for a lot of that cruelty, that whole structure. So the fear that people feel when you approach an idea that they know is against what is taught in the Bible, that they have agreed with the interpretation that's been given, a lot of it's a cellular memory of torture. I mean, being beat to death and just all manner of horrifying ways of creating pain for people. So we don't know why there's, you know, and I've been through many different phases of different religions too, and I think that's the part, that's the mark of an old soul. When you go through a lot of different changes in life, it's kind of like to fast forward you to the point where you're at now. So you go through all the different things. It's almost like a review, you know. Let's review what it was like to be dogmatic. Let's review what it's like to be this. Let's review what it's like to, you know, experiment with, you know, drugs, whatever. Let's go through all these different things. You've been through that, so we're going to do a quick review of that. Now you're at the point of, you know, preparing for enlightenment. So when you have that kind of life where you've been through a whole bunch of different phases, that's when you're going through your last incarnations, because like you say, you're an old soul. So I've been through a lot of things, and what I saw was that when people are afraid to question, it's like they have a cellular memory of those historic times when our ancestors, wherever they may have been on the globe, were tortured into declaring this as their faith. And if they refused, they're beheaded, dismembered, all those things. So that's part of why they can't conceive of thinking of what you're saying without a feeling of fear.
And I agree, not all deeply indoctrinated old. Francis Harris is saying it's not true that all deeply indoctrinated old school fear of question No, not all. I would say no. Not all deeply indoctrinated, old school, fear questioning their faith, as Naima is saying, from slavery and other environments people have been in historically. Not all, but so. And as my audio guest pointed out, Dorothy Shelton pointed out, when you look at the soul journey of many lifetimes, it's easier for me to look at the young souls and the old souls. I have people in my own family. I'm sure you do, Naima, as well. I know you do. Three black moms.
Yeah, you know.
Our family is just, how did all of these people in my family and different experiences in another life, let's just say. Well, that's the whole truth, the deep truth about this journey we're on, that, yeah, the people who came from your mother's womb have a whole belief about this journey we're on right now. So it can, in my opinion, can only be that they are young souls and they may have come in a lot later than you came in many, many times, many years in the past lives. And so that explains it to me a lot. And I realize it's time for another break. Do you want to take another break, Naima, since you're Mike? Okay. So when we come back, I'm going to read some of your comments. And we want to go into another, we have another caller. I haven't forgotten another, there's another caller. 773-450, I'll come to you after the break, and I'll read some more of the comments and answer any questions you may have. Thank you all for your comments. Great comments here.
All right, back.
And after
the break.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating and mindful conversations on higher learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
As my guest pointed out, Dorothy Shelton on YouTube, that we have old souls and new souls. And that's a truth that even Christians struggle with, because some Christians don't believe in reincarnation. So you can't talk to some people about old souls and new souls because they don't believe there's this cycle of souls coming and going. But let me go to the phones. I have a caller. 773-450, your mic is open. Welcome to Soul Purpose Healing.
Yes, Shalom Greens, my sister. You know, I appreciate the show. It's a masterful program. And I listen more than I do calling and even talk. But I appreciate it because we try to focus on an alternative we can search for ourselves. You know? But what's interesting to me is that it's always the blessing to see the soul purpose heal it. And traditional ideas. For example, Yahshua Messiah, who they always say that they should follow, he said, I do the will of my Father. His name was Yah, like you said, there was no J in the Hebrew language, so he's Yahshua, the Messiah, which means Yah is our salvation. But it's kind of curious sometimes how the Son becomes over the Father when he himself said, I go to the Father. So we should be focused on the Most High, who made everything instead of just the Son. And so I guess it's kind of a evolution in it, because one of the things I find is that we're all so interconnected. And you talked about being a part of a circle. And I thought what was so beautiful about it is that you all could share ideas. Most people just shut the door. If they're Christian and they believe one thing, they would have never had a conversation. Do you know, if you had a conversation with them, I find that there was probably some things in common that you both had. Think about it. That's why we have so much in common, because it's interesting to me. When we grow up, we take usually religion of what our parents did. And if it's sufficient, we roll with it until we start doing our own internal investigation. And the Bible says we should grow in faith. So as we grow in faith, then we learn different things. It's like I used to think, well, we're praying to God, and I would get on my knees and look up to the sky and pray and hope for miracles, like it was some sort of raining down. And I found that that was about as vain a way to pray as any. Because number one, when you pray, you're seeking within yourself. The light is within. When there was no darkness, there was darkness everywhere, I asked to be the light, and I became the light. I didn't have to go and look for it in the sky because it's within me. So I believe all of us go through growth, but I would appreciate if instead of us like maybe being ridiculed towards each other and our different views, that we see the commonality in it and listen and share, because that's how we both will grow at the long run. There was one other thing I did want to notate. It's just like in Bible teachers, they always talk about adultery as if it's between men and women, when in fact, adultery would be a whoring after a God other than Yah, because Yah is the Most High, not us.
And well, thank you.
And creatures oftentimes get together for the wrong reason. So the last thing I was just going to say before I go is this. I appreciate it when we can begin to learn. Instead of chasing each other based on how cute she is or how much money they got and all this stuff, we find our soul purpose and we go down that pathway, and we can meet another soul that's along the same pathway as we are so that we can grow. And in the two growing, you get triple the blessing, and then you both can go out in your own circle and share that divine light.
And so thank you, Obadiah. That's Obadiah from Chicago. Thank you for those really positive, optimistic words of wisdom. And speaking of adultery, Zelda is going to have a part two tomorrow on cheating. So you don't want to miss that. You need to tune in to Zelda's show tomorrow because we had so much interest in that show last week that Zelda's going to continue tomorrow on Monday Morning Mindfulness with cheating. We're going to have another powerful discussion. In fact, Zelda's commenting that grand evening. All melanated people need to read You Are Not a Nigger by Yahweh Ben Yahweh. I knew him. He was a great leader in Israel, in fact. Google it. Doubt many Christians are ready for the truth. Deep system programming since birth is a challenge for many. Thank you, Zelda. And that answers, kind of answers Naima's point about why would people want to follow a religion that's so violent in its presentation of Yeshua on the cross and all the violence in the Bible. And there you go, programming. I mean, our parents brainwashed us into churches where you need to be. You need to follow Jesus if they were following Jesus. And, again, I had such a beautiful grandfather, a pastor of a Church of God in Christ, that I would have followed him anywhere because he just lived the life of love and peace and compassion. He was the most compassionate man. So we follow our parents, grandparents, who demonstrated to us, this is the way to go. Now walk in, and now we're like, nah, I don't think so. Well, did we know the truth about the Catholic Church? And then Christina says Zula, I think it's pronounced. She says they focus. I imagine you mean the Catholic Church or the religious system focus on the fear as opposed to the miracles, the good stuff. Yes. There are a variety of reasons for this. This falls short because they do not understand how Yeshua did it anymore. It's much easier and beneficial to them to focus, teach through fear instead of focus, teach, love, and we're all divine beings. It's my belief these structures will fold, I agree, as more of us wake and perform miracles in our own lives. Well, yeah, they're already folding, that's for sure. Church attendance is way down. Church attendance is way down all over the world, I believe. And we are finding, we are finding that people are indeed waking up and coming out of the religious system and moving more into truth and relationship with the Most High. So I have another audio I'd like to share with you about You Are God, Creator. The conversation that I was in last night on a teleconference or a conference call was that's blasphemy. And I thought about my friend Elitan Elamim is a breatharian. He sends me Facebook messages all the time about he's God. He is God. He is God. And we just love it to hear it and see it because he acts like one. He's not eating food or drinking, walking barefoot all over the planet, flying barefoot, walking barefoot everywhere, and thriving in his mental, physical, spiritual body. So this is just a little teaching on You Are God, Creator. Just to open up our eyes and ears a little bit about the possibility that, we're the creator.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. It's me again, Dorothy Shelton, a.k.a. Natural Beta. And I thought, you know what, I feel so comfortable filming right now, and I haven't done a sit-down video in such a long time. So it's really something that I think it's a great opportunity to do that right now because my children are out. And the house is quiet. It's just, and my thoughts are clear, so why not use the opportunity? I don't know when I'll have another one like this. So if you are new to my channel or you have been
watching my channel for a while, you will have noticed that I am posting spiritual videos, and this is something that is of interest to me. It has been of interest to me for a very long time. There is a lot of confusion in this planet Earth that we live in. There's a lot of ignorance and the veil, as people say. There's a veil here that doesn't help us see things clearly. So there's a lot of a lot of despair and lack of trust in ourselves and in others. And for that reason, people are unhappy. People don't trust each other. People are lost and depressed and don't have a way out. They just live their life and most importantly, take it very seriously. That's a good one. Yeah, they take it very seriously, which we ultimately really don't have to. We don't have to take life seriously. That's something that I have learned along my spiritual development. You know, and I just want to keep this video short. I don't want to make it too long, but from what I've learned, it's so beautiful. Oh, God. Just thinking about it, before I can even voice what I'm going to say, it's such a beautiful knowing to know this, really. And that is that, oh, God, this is big. We have created all of this, everything we see around us. The world, this world, planet Earth, everything in this world is our doing. We, everybody, all humans, everything that's in this world was created by us. And it's called unity consciousness. It's a consciousness that we're all part of. And when you leave your physical body, you go back to that consciousness. You go back to that unity. And there's a lot more to it, but that's sort of giving a summary of it. But we are the creators of this world. And the reason why we've created such a world, which some people might call ugly and very testing and challenging and brutal and violent, the reason why we have created such a world is because, oh God, now you're probably thinking, this is nuts, sorry, what are you saying? But the reason why we created such a world, which might appear ugly, is because we seek experience. Imagine that, just for that. Because we want to experience. We want to express ourselves. And that might also mean in a very low vibration. What does that mean, low vibration? It means that when you are so clouded and so immersed in fear, all of the low vibration frequency, feelings, actions, fear, greed, distrust, violence, hatred, yes, we want to experience that at all. Because where we come from the whole, where we come from, which is really God, we are part of God. God is everything. God is the totality of everything. Everything you see in this world, including your mobile phone, including your laptop, including that chair over there, and the painting, and the wall, and everything, is all part of God. God is in everything, and everything is God. It's the totality of everything. It's God, which includes us. We are part of that totality. And when we are a part, when we are in this unity consciousness, or when we are God, there is no hatred, there is no low vibration. It's so perfect there. It's so serene. It's just love. The most perfect love that you can imagine. But there's also no glowing in that when there's just serenity and love, and I guess you could call it perfection. It's just, you know, so wonderful. But when you're in that, there is no glowing. There is no progression. There is just a being, which is a wonderful thing. to be. But, you know, God is also a very curious God. God, which is us, by the way, talking about us. We want to experience, we want to evolve, we want to become more vibrant as a consciousness. And because of that, he has created multiple worlds to live in, including planet Earth, including many other worlds, which we have visited as well. Oh God, what, don't you, what the, are you talking about? Yeah, it's true though. I mean, it's, let me not use the word true, let's say it's reality. And it's a reality that you'll come to know eventually, even if it is after we have passed, which will become clearer. I'm so grateful because I have been able to immerse myself in this and really have come to learn it, have come to know it, and I can now share it as well and talk freely about it. And it's not about right or wrong. Oh God, what are you saying? What about religion and all that? Oh, religion is just a tiny aspect of this whole thing. I compare religion, when I think about the immensity of who we are, and then I place religion next to that, for me it's like a child, a little child. When you have a little child and you're trying to explain to a little child the origins of things or where things come from, a child is not able to understand that because they're so young and they haven't experienced things yet. So they need things in very little, you know, pieces in a broken down way. So in a very simplistic way, you kind of give it to a child in a very simplistic way so they can understand what you're talking about. Because it's like, okay, yeah, where do children come from? Oh, well, yeah, they kind of are... They come from, you know, you don't just tell them the whole process of where a child comes from. You kind of make it very simple. And it's kind of, with religion, I see it sort of very similar. And it's not to hurt anybody who's religious, but really it's about just trying to explain the purpose of religion. To me, this is my personal opinion. When I think about religion, I think for me, religion is just a way of helping humanity really understand spirituality and their nature and the nature of the world and the nature of things in a very simplistic way, in a very broken down way. But if you really truly immerse yourself in who you are and the bigger picture, oh my God, it's just so beautiful. And it's not, there's no division, there's no separation. We are all one, you know. Keep looking there because I'm noticing the battery is running out. So I'm going to cut this video off now. I'm going to leave it there, but I'm going to share more insights over different topics. I'm going to share more insights about different topics like where we go when we die and other things as well. So if you're curious and you want to know specific things, please comment down below. It's okay if you have a different opinion. Don't worry about it. It's all good, you know. It's all part of our experience. Everything is okay. Everything is well. Thank you all for watching this video. And
okay, that was, again, Dorothy Shelton. I encourage all of you to go to her YouTube channel and maybe subscribe. She's such an enlightened soul. And she's in Kenya. We are connecting all, as we say in our female solution commercials, we are connecting to our global family. And when I saw her, she was in Kenya. She used to be in Nigeria. We need to have connections with our global family and stop all these wars as if we're not connected and dropping bombs and so forth. But she makes an excellent point about being the God energy, the being the creator energy inside of us. And that's really hard for some Christians to hope to understand. And I love what Christina just said during a spiritual chat with a friend recently. The second coming of Christ was asked about. Boy, I see a bumper sticker on the car in this neighborhood all the time when I'm walking. It says, Jesus is coming back soon. So maybe we can talk about that, because that's a real, deceptive conversation, phrase, bumper sticker. And Christina said, the message was we're all Christ incarnate. There are many light workers and ascended masters on the planet awakening. Hallelujah. We're all here to carry humanity into our new reality and existence as the structures we knew crumble. Hallelujah. This also helps us avoid that only one person is capable. Thank you, Christina. A beautiful comment. And that's the struggle people are having, understanding what it means that Christ is coming back. We're looking up, there's this scripture that describes that he's coming back in the clouds. Well, there's a really excellent teacher that I was following for many, many months who taught about what that actually means. And if you think about it, the clouds are up here in this brain. This is the cloud. Just think about the clouds represent the brain, the head. There's actually many parts of our brain that look like clouds. So we can really start thinking about more, not there's going to be a man come out of Hollywood clouds and show up with a white robe and long flowing hair, but more like the Messiah, the anointed energy of the Messiah is coming back in the brains, in the minds of so many people right now. People are developing the Christ mind. That's what I believe it means, that Christ is coming back. Christ is back in many of us already. And those who are slow to come out of religion, they're going to not see. They're going to see Christ in us, and that's what we need, is for people to see Christ in us. But here's a little three-minute audio on the difference between spirituality and
Spirituality is love and compassion, as far as I'm concerned, and particularly meaning that you are not just being rationally stuck within sort of what you think your body is wired to do. You're going into a deeper area of your mind where you kind of are asserting your free will, really. And you're choosing to be friendly and compassionate with people, whether or not they irritate you or whether or not they've done something to you. You're nevertheless choosing some sort of extraordinary, what we might say extraordinary. It shouldn't be extraordinary. It's actually not really, but we're conditioned to think it's an extraordinary response or outreach to people. And that is spirituality. Spirituality really is touching. And when you do that and you sort of let go of your sort of self-protective and defensive controls, what you tap into is the nature of the universe, which is the flow of energy interconnecting things. And so then you naturally feel like interconnecting. And spirituality is where you let go, therefore, of your narrow, tight sort of control, identifying yourself just as your body, and I'm holding on to this, and I'm holding on to my chair, and this kind of thing. And that's really what it is. And whereas religion, and it is, of course, the heart of religion, too. But unfortunately, religion has this other component where it goes into, instead of what the sociologists might call pattern transcending activity or mental activity as well as behavior, it's into pattern maintenance activity, and it becomes a tool of the state and the society and the conventional culture to control people and say you have to do this and you need that ritual and you obey this rule, and it stifles people, spirituality, actually. And in the name of it, people will kill each other and they'll hate people who don't have the same belief. Instead of being loving and friendly, they will misinterpret, or they'll allow the priesthood to misinterpret the teachings of the great founders who were truly spiritual and who said, you know, don't behave like that, and they start behaving like that, you know. You know, like, the Roman Catholic Church. The Catholic part is great, universal, and the Church of Jesus is great, is really great, but the Roman part is the Roman Empire from Constantine, and it's a dominating thing, and it isn't nice. And it's conflicting even for the priesthood. And of course, many of the priests are saintly and wonderful. When they were more great mystics, they were better before the Protestants made them try to be more social, but like to compete with them. But you know, they too much adopted the stance of the Roman Empire is the problem. And religions do that. Buddhism too. It just becomes a control mechanism rather than a liberating mechanism.
Many teach spirituality. Many study spirituality. There are books titled Spiritual Category, Industry, all very spiritual. But so much is misunderstood about the nature of spirit, for spirit is not a science. Spirit is not linear. Spirit is a connectivity. It is a space of merging with eternity, where linear machinations, they fold. They fold upon themselves, and things progress in a non-linear fashion. You can go from the middle to the end, or from the beginning to the end, in similar distance as it would take a serial progression of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It is called the short path. It is the path of intimacy, and spirit is intimacy. And to be spiritual is to merge in alignment with your intimate self and dedicate that intimacy within the vitality that is you, that truth, and dedicate it to a realignment and merging, an emergence of a gestalt, a higher collective of you, a reunion of oneness back into singular all. That is spirit. That is spirituality. Spirituality is two lovers running on the beach for an immaculate re-embrace. That is spirituality. Spirituality cannot be used as a weapon. Spirituality cannot be used to coerce. Spirituality that is coercion is not spiritual. For spirituality is intimacy and love and oppression. Oppression is not love and is not intimate. And it is like two lovers. And when one lover is with another, both must be vulnerable and welcoming to expand into a greater sum of the parts, a gestalt phenomenon, back into a higher collective of oneness, that together they form something that is greater than the individual parts, and that is spiritual, and that is intimacy, and that is reunion, and that is the river of eternity flowing forth of all.
Life, is your religion or spirituality about intimacy? I was talking about intimacy with a friend not too long ago about how the relationship that we want to have with our partners, our husbands, is about intimacy, so that we are authentic in what we do and what we say. And for me, I've been uploading videos of sunrises on the beach. And that to me is the most intimate circumstance that I experience in my life. Being intimate with the energy of the sun rising, the water flowing, the sand, the birds, and the sky lighting up with this amazing light from the sun. And now I'm doing sun gazing every morning for 7 days for 3 minutes. That's intimacy for me. So when I'm having a discussion with people who are into their Christian religion and they say, well, what I'm doing, if I don't have a savior, then I'm going to hell. I'm like, are you serious? The intimacy you have with at the beach with the sunrise is pure joy, pure peace, and it cannot be compared to anybody's religious attitude. So I invite all of you to find intimacy, as the man just suggested. That's spirituality. We don't need more control from an institution like the Catholic Church. What we need is more intimacy with ourselves and nature. So we're going to take, We're going to take our last commercial break, and we'll be right back. Post your questions on Facebook and press 1 if you have any comments or questions you'd like to make.
And after the break, you've got a caller on this line, 314-677. I can open their mic after the break.
Okay. Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Tax are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
And Naima has a caller in the Female Solutions studio, and I believe she's going to open up the mic.
Hello.
Hello. Who's there?
It's Pianchi. You know, here's something. There's no ethnic group on the planet Earth human being that's more spiritual than any other. A human being, even animals have those peculiarities. And for people to say that is really being disrespectful, or they just don't know. Another point, when you talk about religion, religion is nothing more than an aspect of an ethnic group's culture. And men made gods. The things that you find in your Ten Commandments apparently was going on in some ethnic group's culture, society, frowned upon. Then they deified that culture, and it became a religion. That's from a historical context. You go into Africa, Egypt. You go into the tombs, the temples of Ifit, Usut, Karnak, Philae. The carvings on the columns and walls is that of the goose in a circle all over the place. That stands for Sa-Ra. Not the S-O-N sun, but the S-U-N sun. Sa-Ra, which is in all men. And you say you have a fondness for watching the sunrise. That was praised. First, it was praised with animals, the baboon in the Ituri forest. When the sun rises, baboons will hold their hands up to the sun like Muslims give the shalak praise. Why is that? Because the sun has overcome the darkness. The S-U-N sun. Then it rises and it's called Keppra. What is Keppra? It's indicated by the beetle when the beetle rolls a dung ball where a metamorphosis comes out of that dung ball and you have a butterfly. When the sun reaches high noon, it's called Ra. You go into the savannah, at high noon, the lions roar. Then as it goes on down to 6 o'clock, it becomes Amen, hidden. You don't see it no more. And it's in the underworld where it's fighting off darkness and evil. Another point. Religions, as I said before, is a deification of a culture. That's why come you have in your Ten Commandments, which was, you know, came much, much later. It says, thou shalt not upon judgment. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. But in the 42 Declarations of Innocence, Ma'at, when these deceased stood to be judged, and his life was being read at the judgment scene before the scales of Ma'at, which was his heart and the feather, the commandments are, I have not killed, I have not stole, I have not coveted, I have not committed adultery. It's the difference between thou shalt not and I have not. But people are allowed to believe anything they want. And another thing that people say, that those societies was ethnocentric. They did not mix. And when I say mix, it wasn't mixing with whites. It was mixing with other people. You go into West Africa today in those countries, although everybody's skin is black, they have tribal marks on their face so that they identify themselves to their particular group. And you, if you was mixed with the Kushites, did not have anything to do with people who was biologically mixed because their God, Amen, forbidden it. Even in Kenya with the Masai King, there's a passage in the Destruction of Black Civilization on page 200, 220, where the Masai King said that the sea pushes against the land and the land pushes against the sea. The two was never meant to be. And one more point. A black American cannot become a chief, a paramount chief in those countries over there, especially Ashanti, because you're mixed. They are ethnocentric. Look at Jerry Rawlings, who became a national president of Ghana, but his mother was Ghanaian and his father was Scottish. He could not become a paramount chief. He was a president of the country, but no, 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 you can't be a chief and carry the scepter. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Pianki. That was a really interesting summary of
and
the
you know one other thing too, Nyala? You know one other thing? Religion is good because it keeps people in a moral behavior. I would hate to see people that didn't have it because then all things would be loose. It's good for a human being to always fear something. They fear the unknown. Anything that through the history of mankind that they didn't know the cause of or the inside of, they always attributed it to who? They attributed it to God. They did that to flight until they learned how to fly with airplanes. They attributed it to science and scientific principles. Before that, well, the birds, God makes the birds fly. Thank you very much.
I appreciate your perspective on ethnic groups and culture and all that. But I was, when I do my sun gazing, I pulled up some Native American songs. And you didn't mention Native Americans and their culture because what we know about African culture is one thing, but we also know about Native American culture that goes back hundreds of years. And that has had an influence on America, of course, more than some African cultures have had an influence. Because when you say black American, well, Elon Musk is an African American. So we have these labels that we put on each other and ourselves, black American, African American. But we're all confused about these labels. That's why I don't put the Christian label on me. And I don't know that all religions are helpful or positive or good for our society in terms of moral values, because basically what they're doing is controlling people to follow certain rules and guidelines that really can't be kept anyway. So that's a good perspective on the cultural impact of religion on our society, which makes people divisive in many ways. As I said, I was on a conference call, and it was very divisive because their beliefs is that if you don't have these four guidelines in your life, Jesus is the Savior, Jesus is the Son of God, all that, then you're not in that club. So don't, and not every Christian thinks like that, I have to admit. That was a special couple of men. The men in that conference call had some very constrictive viewpoints, religious viewpoints that were, to me, off the chain and very immature soul-wise. But the Native American song that I listen to has the name Yah in it, and it's in their language, and it translates to the all-powerful soul or something spiritual. It translates to the powerful spirit, something like that. So I thought about listening to this three-minute song, a Native American Cherokee, I believe it was Cherokee song, that talks of, in their language, they mention Yah. So even the name Yahuwah is used by Native Americans in some of their language because it's a spiritual message in their culture. Even in their culture, the name Yah was used. So from the Hebrew to the Native American in this country, the language is very similar. And my point is that we can have harmony and not division when we respect each other's beliefs and viewpoints. And that's what I saw last night, was a lot of division because people think their Christian belief is all there is. And if you don't believe that way, you're going to hell. Because if you're standing, if you're gazing into the sun, that's something that is totally foreign to most Christians. And yet being at the beach and seeing the sunrise is a very spiritual practice because it's all about energy. Just as he said, talks about spirituality, intimacy. He said we need to have intimacy with ourselves first, and spirituality is all about having intimacy with the nature and the creator. And that's why I'm doing videos on my YouTube channel with the sunrise, creating a spiritual energy exchange, sex on the beach. And I'm getting ready to upload one that's going to have foreplay and the spiritual energy exchange, all about intimacy with nature, the sun coming up, the beach, the water, the birds, the sky. That's what we need to focus on, in my opinion, not who Jesus was and the sun, S-U-N, versus the S-O-N. It's really about the S-U-N, not the S-O-N. And that's where we're confused and people are being divisive.
Muted.
So thank you, Pianchi. I always appreciate your input. And I've opened up the mic of, let's see, 312-802. Your mic is open. Welcome. Give us your name, where you're calling from.
Grand Rising and Peace and Blessing. This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams from Chicago. And, I want to share in conversation. Yes, ma'am, everyone listening. The whole conversation, what...
We can't hear you right now. Did we lose you? Okay, check your mic. We want to hear from you, Minister Cynthia, but I can't hear you right now. Is it me or you? Oh, her mic dropped. Minister Cynthia Williams is one of our frequent callers. I hope she'll call back. Her mic her phone just dropped, though, because she's a very spiritually minded woman. And I want to say this. Last night, there were two men pastors preaching about the Bible and Jesus. And I want to say this about the times that we are in. It's time for the queens to step up to the plate. The male energy, I thought about this this evening as I was preparing the show. The male energy has dominated our society, our world. We've had all these wars. We have confusion in the medical system, the educational system. And I really believe it's now time for women to step up to the plate. And men need to show more respect to women. I didn't have much respect on that call last night other than being listened to and then believing that I was going to hell and other people were right and I was wrong was what I was hearing. And so I thought about that. You know, that's that immature soul that has been dominating our society and our earth, dropping bombs. And male ego is what I would say it was. Male ego was dominating last night. Male ego has been dominating our society and our world with bombs and war. War against the body, females, not having the experience that Dorothy Shelton had in her bathtub, bringing that baby out and laying that baby on her chest with no drugs. No drugs, just water and a midwife present. And then the children came around, the two boys came around the bathtub and said hello to their new brother. We haven't had that experience much with women and in our society because men have been too outspoken and too dominant in our society. It's time for the goddess to take over in all of us and even in the men. It's time for your feminine energy to come forth and change the society that we've been in that's in full-blown Twilight Zone mode for the last 3 years. And I'm suggesting it's time for us to go into contemplative, how did he put that? Center, we need centers of contemplation, not more churches in the ghetto where people are killing each other. Now, we don't need any more churches, no more church buildings. We need centers of contemplation where we go into meditation and learn to intimacy with ourselves and not focus on the church, the pastor, the choir, and all those things that obviously are not working because the society's in total chaos and confusion most of the time. Time for us to go within and learn about the body, intimacy. And we're going to do a little meditation before we go, because I don't see Minister Cynthia back in the studio. So let us just do some breathing. Breathe in all of this energy we've just taken in about soul status and religion. And let's just breathe in intimacy and let the men be reminded. Let's see, who's this? Kwame just showed up. I'll let Kwame say a few words before I do a meditation. Let the men be reminded it's time for the goddess to come forth in the men and especially women. Goddess sovereignty, put down any religious thinking that is divisive. You can have your religion, but it can't be divisive. And as I said, Native American culture has brought me forward into sun gazing now. And Kwame Sunhorse, your mic is open. You got about a minute.
Good evening, and I'm a little late. I was on the phone with someone, and I was trying to get off to call into the show, and I finally, you know how that goes when you get people that don't want to let you go. Into me, see. What is in you that you would like the world to see? And these are the choices that we have to begin, because the journey of the four laws of change is that it begins within. Then you have the vision. Then you create the plan, and then you create the forest, because the forest is the community, and that which is going to be attended by you as a self. How are you going to emit the energy of light that is in your heart to others to see? And this is what we're looking at. And coming back into nature, because even when we sun gaze and look at the sun, when the sun gives off its different ultraviolet lights and colors, the thing that we get is we get the energy of the sun. Why birds will start singing before it even becomes light is because the frequency reaches them before. And what we have to look at is, what are we here for, and what are the frequencies that we're going to emit, illuminate the light from within? Everybody talks about being enlightened, but how do you connect to yourself to be yourself, that others may see you in your light?
Thank you. Beautiful. And that's what we need to summarize. Into me, see. Into nature. We're going to do like a one-minute meditation, born of water, cleanse and powerful. Let us breathe in together in a very spiritual way. Breathe in, born of water, cleanse and powerful. Breathing in.
Born of water, cleansing, powerful, healing, changes. I am born of water, cleansing, powerful, healing, changes. I am born of water, cleansing, powerful, healing, changes. I am born of water, cleansing, powerful, healing, changes. I am born of water, cleansing, powerful, healing, changes. I am born of water, cleansing, powerful, healing, changes. I am born of water.
And we're going to keep breathing in and out. We're going to go back to Minister Cynthia. I want her to have a word, but we've got, we'll go over. Minister Cynthia, go ahead. We'll just go over time if you have enough to say. Thank you, sister. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Your mic is open.
Okay, fine. I don't know where my phone messed up on me, and I do apologize to everyone. What was the last thing I said?
Well, we were talking about intimacy.
Go ahead, Diane. I'm sorry.
No, we were talking about intimacy, unity, consciousness, centers of contemplation.
Yeah, and you were talking about the sun, and it's a feeling thing, as long as you're in this body containment. So what you're doing, those of you that go back to nature, and free yourself up as much as we can from the body container, it's almost like some people are frightened by it because it's like they're losing control. Being a being called human, you get trapped in this need for control. It's so unconscious. It's part of the human being, being called human mechanism. We get so used to it that it's frightening when we try to free ourselves from it. And these religious concepts are systems of belief created by male men, and that's a whole other show. And I'm not hating on men because I came through one time as a male. I can tell you that now. But I'm just saying energy, energy, energy is spirituality. We are energy first from the source that created all things. Then our souls are these particular little personalities that we reincarnate as we go through different soul incarnations. So if we ever get away and let go of all the five-fifth stuff, then we would be floating. And Morrison, she wrote a book about flying. What she was doing was talking about how when we're on the other side, we do fly. How do I know that? Because I remember being on the other side before I came here. And I was flying. And I had no body. I was consciousness and I was awareness. And if we could just get back to that, then that energy power that we have within us can create the total love where we're all supposed to be growing to.
Absolutely. That is beautiful. Thank you so much, Minister Cynthia. And we want to remind everyone to please go to Minister Cynthia's Facebook page and donate to the ceremony for or the celebration for her husband who transitioned a few weeks ago. They're having a service, what, next month in September?
September the 10th on a Saturday at 2 p.m. here in Chicago at a very small place. It's nothing all that elaborate, but it's just in honor of the better part of him. I used to have him say, what do you say? I say, I am a spiritual star. Spiritual superstar. I said, what does that mean, darling? You are connected to divine God. See, we forget when we come into this body container who we really are, and we don't know how to. It's very difficult with religion, just like you were saying, Violet. Religion dumbs us down. And that's why we as spiritual souls need to remember, and for those of us who are walking, as I say, in the light, the source is the light. I mean, have you ever met somebody, it's not that you've met them before, but I've actually, in my vision, through my spiritual soul self, I'm seeing the light, and I'm brightly. Some people can handle it, some can't. But it's a wonderful, it's brighter than the sunlight, brighter than the sunlight. And I know you've experienced it because those of you who are full of the nature concept, you develop, you really are, and I really admire you. And I'm learning from all of you. Put me butt, when I say butt naked, take your shoes off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, and get naked. Take your shoes off and get naked. So, yes, Minister, it's Cynthia Marie Williams on Facebook, and go there and give a donation. Thank you so much, sister. It's so good to hear your voice. And many, many blessings. Love and blessings to you and your family. And we're going to start our thank you ending to our global family. Thank you all for being with us tonight, your energy and your love itself. When you show up, and please go out, spread the love and the light.
We've come to the end of our show today.
Thank you, everybody.
But you can hear
tomorrow morning
at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xie xie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, jeongkeunyeong. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, madasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, get it. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.